The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, in with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. We have a special guest today with us, Bruce Bicknell, who's an architect in Scranton. Hello, Bruce.
Hello. It's nice to see you both.
Thank you for being here with us. We are here every Saturday and Sunday. We discuss numerous real estate topics. We have a full-time real estate office with many full-time realtors. We have been listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 40 years. We are the proud recipient of the Quality Service Award from Century 21 for the years 2010 and 2011. Feel free during the week
to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or give us a call at 570-344-6724.
View our listings or search the MLS listings by going to jruddy.com, jruddy.com, where you can also listen to our archived radio shows and check out some realtor videos. Don't forget to friend us on Facebook at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Okay, Bruce Bicknell, architect, Scranton architect. Where did you start out? How long have you been doing what you do? And can you give us a little bit of background on you, please?
Well, starting out, I got accepted into Syracuse University. It's a six-year experience, and my father, about the third year I was there, went broke, and it was a time during the Korean War, and it seemed like it might be a good idea to get in the Army so I could get the GI Bill to finish school. So I went in the Army in 1953, came out of the Army. I didn't want to re-up, so I came back and started school again and finished school in 1958 from Kansas, and I started my architecture career in Denver. You have to serve an apprenticeship in architecture for 3 years working for somebody, and then I took the exams. It takes a long time. I was in my 30s when I finally got my license. I did ski resorts and churches. Churches where I started. You know, what makes somebody an architect is because I played with blocks when I was a kid. But so look out for your children if they're playing with blocks. They might be an architect. And I went around looking for work when I started my own office, and you can't get work because they always ask you what you've done, and I hadn't done anything. So to be Christian, churches would hire me. Then I ended up doing a job in Aspen, and that got my whole career started because I did ski resorts. And for about 15 years, I lived in Boulder and worked in ski resorts all over the country at Sugar Bush, Boyne Mountain, Michigan, Breckenridge, Aspen, Vail, all over. I have people that I work for here in Scranton that say I'm the only architect in town that draws with a quilt. I draw by hand. And when I go get my prints, people say, "You drew that?" And I'll say, yeah. And they said, "Why?" Because nobody draws anymore. They use computers.
Why do people need an architect in terms of, you know, when they're building, when they're looking to build, when they're looking to do an addition? Why would somebody want an architect involved? Why is it important? There's a lot of builders out there that you go, you look at a bunch of books, you pick out which house you like from the exterior and what floor plan works for you. There's a lot of websites that one can go to, do research, and print out their plans from there. Why do they need an architect? Isn't that just an extra layer and an extra cost to the process?
It's mandatory now. Fortunately, in my opinion, this whole state of Pennsylvania has a residential code now that demands that it be reviewed in any municipality. And what we call the BIU, check all the plans here to see that they're structurally sound, that they're electrically and mechanically relevant. So the architectural stamp on your drawings is mandatory, and a lot of people today are getting plans off the computer from out of state, and sometimes those plans that they pay for, the upstairs doesn't jive with the downstairs, and there's no construction documents with it, and so they aren't going to get approval by the building authorities. So the architectural stamp is mandatory for the responsibility of, you know, of a disastrous conclusion.
For safety.
For safety, yeah.
And that makes sense. Okay, so do you have a certain design philosophy? I would think that all architects are different. And when somebody's looking for an architect, what should they look for?
You're basically in residential real estate, and so that would probably be the focus of your work. And I've done some residential work, but I'm doing all of residential work now here in Scranton because of my retirement. It isn't what I used to do. So I had a very definite design philosophy in my major work in New York City and other places. I've been involved in my thought processes of the fourth dimension and what the fourth dimension entails in architecture, because space, time, spirit, and motion was architecture is all about. A lot of people call it frozen music. And I've done buildings elsewhere that very carefully and deliberately involved my work with those four-dimensional qualities. I have a building in Denver, a high-rise of 16 stories that the Rocky Mountain News, which is now out of business, did an art section of 2 pages on. They caught on to the fact that it was fourth-dimensional, and that's something that I've enjoyed, but I don't do that in residential work here in Scranton because that's not relevant. It's here, I think it's more what local markets want. Like right now, they want as many dormers on the building as possible.
On a residential structure, they want as many dormers. Those are the roof peaks.
Right.
Okay. That's in.
That's very much a part of what local people want. And if you look around town, the arched window over the front door and a 2 or 3 story entryway is very popular with all the echoes that go along, and your kids are roller skating in it. And I think we've changed very dramatically in the last year because of crisis in building. I think people want smaller houses now and are rejecting...
Those McMansions? Those McMansions
right.
are out.
I think the mansion is out now. One of the things that's very... because I do townhouses here and have for about 10 years. Something that's changed dramatically is isolating a kitchen and a dining room into separate rooms. They don't want that anymore. They want one large room with a kitchen on the side or stretch in this great room and let the whole downstairs be essentially one room.
Yeah, pretty big open floor plan. We just sold a house like that the other mm-hmm. day. It was exactly as you described. The kitchen was open into the dining room and the living room, and it was all, you could see the fireplace from the stove.
Essentially from the front door, you could see the first floor.
You could see everything but the laundry room and the bathroom. You could see it all.
And the staircase was open too, so you can even see upstairs.
Which is, I think people like that. And in townhouses, one of the things that's changed dramatically in the last 10 years is they used to be for empty nesters, where you your children have their own lives and they get married and leave home and you don't want to mow the lawn anymore. So we used to put master bedrooms on the first floor and with the laundry room adjacent to it. And the upstairs was just a study for guests to come. Then your 35-year-old son gets divorced and moves home.
Not an empty nester anymore?
You're not an empty nester anymore. And of course,
you seem to be going backwards.
Because he or she, whatever sex they are, want to have a social life. They want the master bedroom downstairs because they're in and out. And so the old folks climb the stairs now to the second floor. So I'm doing a project right now in Old Forge where we put the master bedroom on the second floor. Because
is that preventative planning? Is that what that
well,
is?
Well, you can get one of those little elevators to ride the stairway while your kids. Another thing, kids go to college and can't find jobs when they get out, so they come home, and that's happening to a lot of families. So who moves into your townhouse now is quite different than it was 10 years ago.
So you have to constantly make those adjustments in your work.
You have to stay up to date with it because... like we do units down in one project I'm doing, and we do it about 4 units a year, and then the people who live there will tell us what they don't like and what we should do the next time. And we've been doing that now for 5 years. You know those people,
mm-hmm.
and we're doing one right now with this kitchen concept. And not only that, we've opened up with catwalks the whole downstairs to see the upstairs, so the whole unit. So
when you say catwalk, you mean like
you can look over from the second floor down into the living room,
like something like a
balcony, or
a balcony mezzanine, right? Type of,
so everybody's in contact with everybody.
Nice.
Which I think people are beginning to like that concept, because people are moving out of things we did 5 years ago into the new ones. And so
I like to close the door and be disconnected. I don't mind going up to another floor and closing the door and being alone. That doesn't bother me at all.
Nor me either.
Well, you know, that's another thing about architecture. Residential architecture, you have to find out what people like, because it's almost like being a marriage counselor. I designed the Tisch School of the Arts with the dean of the Tisch School of the Arts, and we decided that we didn't care what the teachers said. I shouldn't be saying this.
Well, you just did.
I just said it. But you work with one person, you can do what you two want to do. Whereas if you're working with a man and a woman, the man will almost always say, I'm not going to have much to do with it. She's the one that wants to design the house. Within 2 weeks, he's in there meddling with everything, and they're fighting. And then pretty soon, they'll have an argument about the bathroom or the laundry room or where it's going to be. And you're solving an argument. And if you take sides, you shouldn't do that, because they'll get mad at you. And,
I like a big garage, right? Isn't that what I wanted? I wanted a big garage. Did I get that? I got a big garage.
You had a little list.
I had a little list. You had a little list.
I had one thing on my list, which I didn't get.
Here we go. Bruce, get in the middle and separate us, will you?
I wanted the laundry chute. I didn't get the laundry chute.
Let's not get it. Bruce, help me out here.
Well, you know, laundry chutes are from my, I grew up in the 30s, and we had laundry chutes, because when they first came out with the laundry, the first washing machines didn't have...
They didn't spin? They had the ringer?
The ringer on the didn't have an escape release, and kids would get their arm caught in it, and or put their cat's tail in it and mangle the cat. And then about 1934, they've had that release on the top. And everybody put them in the basement because they shook so bad that if they put them on the back porch, it would shake the whole house. Uh-huh. And today, 80 years later, everybody's got their laundry in the basement. And that's not very convenient. So then you need a laundry chute.
I agree. My laundry room's on first floor, but yes. I still wanted a laundry chute.
Yes, I know.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Grady Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. And with us today is an architect from Scranton, Bruce Bicknell. Before we go to break, Pat, would you review a listing, please?
Yes, we have a four-bedroom, two-bath home located at 1215 Clay Avenue in Dunmore for only $94,000. This home has almost 2,000 square feet of living space. It's not an open floor plan with balconies and catwalks, though. It has an eat-in kitchen, nice dining room with hardwood floors on the first and second floors. It has a great level fenced-in backyard with no neighbors on the left-hand side. It has good room sizes. The first floor bath was remodeled in 2006. So if you're looking for a four-bedroom, two-bath home with a great yard and at a great price, check out 1215 Clay Avenue in Dunmore for only $94,000. And that's listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
I like to review the Greater Scranton Board of Realtors statistics from time to time. The last full month on record is September. And I like to review what's happening year to date as well as within the month. The average list price for the month of September in 2012 as opposed to 2011 is up almost 4%. Year to date, it's pretty much dead even. And that amount is about $185,000 is the average list price. The average sales price for the month of September 2012 is up 5% from 2011. Year to date, it's up almost 3%, and that is at $142,000 average sales price. The average days on market, little higher year to date, about 4% change there. And the absorption rate, that's the amount of time it would take to sell the current supply of homes available for sale. That's lower year to date at 11.3 months. So that's good news.
Oh, you got good news there.
Yeah, yes, good news. Now, pending and sold for this past September has decreased since 2011, just for that month period. But year to date, we're still strong on the pending and sold, and it looks like we're going to probably finish the year 2012 better than we finished 2011. So that's good news
yes,
as well.
It is.
Okay, we're headed towards a break. Stay with us on the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We'll be right back. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jready.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate.
Does your home represent the person you are today, or does it represent the person you were 30 years ago? Now is the time to buy a home that fits your present needs. No three-car garage or backyard putting green, or maybe you just want the simple things. A private den where you can get some work done, or a finished bar where you and your friends can enjoy a few laughs. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate will work with you to find the one neighborhood, the one community that gives you the best value for the next 30 years. Whether it's time to move up or you are simplifying your life, but don't want to sacrifice comfort, call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, 344-6724. That's 344-6724. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate will guide you from homepage to home while living up to the promise of the gold standard.
Hi, this is Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Is real estate on your mind? It's on ours 24/7. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or in need of an appraisal, if you have questions, we have answers. Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, Fell Realtor,
Pat Devaney.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
You look beautiful this morning.
Thank you. How are you today?
Oh, very good.
All right. And our special guest, Bruce Bicknell, architect, who graduated from school in 1958. Okay, so you've been pretty much doing architect work since then. You lived in 8 different cities. You were licensed in 7 different states, correct? So you've been doing a lot of different, a variety of architect work, because what you do in one city, you may not do in another. You have to be so well informed on current codes, design, and what you can do, what you can't do in terms of municipalities, local municipalities as opposed, and the state regulations, correct?
This is very much a part of an architect's life. I graduated from Syracuse with 25 other people, and very few of us have ever designed a building, and that was my intent. Our exam in architecture is a 48-hour exam.
Wait. The test is 48 hours? You have to take 48 hours of testing?
Right. And we have to do that in every subject there is, history, mechanical, electrical, structural, city planning, architectural design. So most people in architecture pick one of those elements that they really like or they can get paid for. I have friends that work for, one friend, a very close friend I graduated with, and went to work for Merck and wrote specifications for his entire...
And that's what he wanted to do.
Well, he got paid very well for it.
For that, yeah.
My intent was to design buildings.
Okay.
And so knowing all the codes is, you know, and just very recently they came out with a new code for fire protection and sprinkler systems in January. And the code book costs $90 and it's this thick. And to say that I know everything about it's in there, I called up the inspection service and asked how to interpret a formula there, and they told me they didn't have time to talk to me. Why don't I go to Philadelphia and learn how to be an architect?
Oh.
You should have said, I'm licensed in 8 states. I was, anyway.
I can't pull that as to tell anybody I know everything there is to know, because it changes all the time.
Well, sure, it's impossible. You're only human. However, you have to have very extensive knowledge of things that are going on that impact design.
And you have to also, to a large extent, keep that information kind of your own private information, because so many people, particularly in a city like Scranton, think that architecture is extraneous to their needs, that it's just a lot of interior decoration. And it really isn't. But I don't want to use my influence about my examination to impress them. I really want them to be satisfied with something that they feel is attractive and meets their needs, and do that in a sympathetic way without saying, I know more about it than you do.
Well, didn't we have an architect? Didn't we hire an architect to do?
We did. We hired an architect because we took a two-unit, a double, two-family home, and we made it into a single. So we had to change floor plan, take out walls, and
structural components, all of that stuff. We had to change it all.
We did, and it was quite the undertaking. So the first step we did was we had hired somebody to draw us the plans, and
it was a disaster. Did we choose the wrong architect?
It was a personal friend, so we tried. You know, we have a philosophy. We try to take care of the people we know, and this time it didn't work out very well. It was a total waste of money.
Yes, we had the plans on the wall, and when I took the plans off the wall, the builder, he says, thank God you got rid of that.
And the whole place was different than what we had intended to do based on the architect's plans.
Yeah, we put the studs down on the floor. We were going to do the walls, and I looked and I said, this does not work. What was on that piece of paper is completely not going to work in my life. And we changed it, and we sat down and we talked with the builder, and within a couple of hours, we had a total new floor plan, and we're very happy with it.
All the measurements were incorrect.
Oh, it was, I don't know.
So we had to learn from our mistake, and I would think that a choice, how do people choose an architect? We thought we were doing the right thing. The person worked for a firm. Should people interview?
To a large extent, architects don't want to or don't get involved in residential architecture because they can do so much better in commercial architecture. In New York City, for instance, an architect would charge 15% of the construction costs for a house out in Long Island. Here in Scranton, people don't think of architecture as being a part of what they need. And what's happening today, an awful lot of people I know in residential work will order plans off their computer from out of state. Then they find out that the plans they got are not
applicable. They won't work in Pennsylvania.
No, they're not construction documents. They're just pictures that somebody drew off of and made a pretty picture. And this has happened more than once. The upstairs doesn't fit the downstairs. And they think they're ready to build, and they can't, because you need construction documents that will meet the approval of the building authorities before you can start construction. And you need a stamp in the state where the building is happening. And so construction documents that are demanded, what they call the BIU, you need an electrical plan, you need total plumbing diagram, how big the pipes are, structures so it's not going to collapse. And it has to be reasonable and meet the code. A lot of the old houses in the hill section don't meet the code. Corridor in a building should be 3 foot 2 wide, and an awful lot of those places where they've turned those buildings into
Multiple units,
you get corridors that are only 2 feet wide, and they're fire hazards. So much of Scranton has put vinyl siding on the outside of a 100-year-old building that's ready to collapse. You can see on the west side a lot of buildings that are tipping over.
I can think of one in particular I know of, an intersection where the building is leaning. It's literally inches away from the building next to it. It's leaned so far.
I think the good news is that the building departments in all our municipalities now have to have their plans approved. Even the small ones like Tunkhannock, another that used to, you could draw on an envelope and they'd let you build it. That's not a very good idea, because some of those buildings are fire hazards, are structural hazards. People could die in these things and
get seriously hurt.
Right.
So it's all gets back to safety.
Right.
Safety codes, safety issues, and things like that. Before the break, you were talking about how every so often things design changes to, you know, meet lifestyles and demographics. And so you've seen quite a bit in those different states and cities you've lived in throughout the last 50 some years, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I've become attached to them. There are buildings in Scranton that I really like that probably other people don't. I think, for instance, the IBM building downtown is one of the most beautiful buildings in town. It's designed on all four sides, which is very rare. So many buildings, residences, they'll design the front with 4 inches of brick on it and then not even have windows on the two sides.
Sure.
And you look at the back of the building and you think, somebody would pay $250,000 for this?
Wow. Out of all the places you've lived, how does Scranton rate?
The public architecture in Scranton, I think, is the most beautiful of any city I've ever lived in, except maybe Santa Fe. It's like our library and the city hall and the original courthouse and the new courthouse are all beautiful buildings.
Sure.
And the Brooks building downtown is a Richardsonian architecture, which is just gorgeous. And there are examples all through Scranton of beautiful, beautiful 100-year-old architecture. And a lot of cities were demolished during urban renewal. They tear down the whole center of the city and turn it into a interstate highway system like Rochester, Buffalo, Syracuse, and Scranton got saved from that.
Yeah, I drive around and I do appreciate the architecture of this area.
Yeah, I love the station. I think that's a beautiful building.
And the fact that it didn't get totally vandalized during the time when it was
closed.
Yeah, and
closed.
I met a beautiful young lady there.
but you don't talk
about tell my
her,
wife.
Because don't tell your wife.
That's where I met my wife 20 years ago.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. And today with us is Bruce Bicknell, architect from the city of Scranton. We're enjoying our conversation with you. Before we close, I have to ask, would you come back next week? We want to talk about a lot of different things as it applies to what you do.
Well, I could talk forever.
Okay. All right. We'd love to have you. Thank you. Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes, we have a good deal on a Cape Cod style home, and it's a 3-bedroom, 1-bath home located at 1007 Music Street in Scranton for only $59,000. This home has low taxes of only $1,500 a year. It has a new furnace, a new roof. It has a nice layout with spacious rooms, beautiful stone-faced fireplace in the living room, new flooring throughout the first floor, and off-street parking for two cars. So if you're looking for a good deal, look at 1007 Music Street in Scranton, 3-bedroom, 1-bath home for only $59,900, and that's listed by Trish Conway of our office.
Thank you, Pat. And Bloomberg Businessweek recently reported, turns out about 44% of the U.S. population has crazy good credit. And they're using a new way to model credit risk from Fair Isaac Corporation and the data firm CoreLogic. In July, the companies launched a new credit score that combines data that credit bureaus typically track, such as mortgages and credit cards, with outside data CoreLogic mined from public records like property records and liens, and from its proprietary sources, such as short-term installment loans for used cars and rental information. By having that added visibility, they are able to get a more precise score and picture of the borrower. The new score will not replace the traditional FICO score. Regular FICO scores are required by many lenders, but banks can use the new score to supplement the regular score. So this is good news for some people. Overall, 70% of people have better credit under the new measurements than the standard FICO analysis. 25 lenders are testing the product. Hopefully, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac will study using the score in their underwriting requirements. Since the dramatic shift is at the top, it's unlikely that a whole lot more people will suddenly qualify for mortgages who didn't before. Still, there could be a bigger effect on how much borrowers pay for money. With so many people now presenting almost no risk, they could take advantage of lower rates. So we're out of time. Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker, during the week.
Feel free to email us with any questions at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. or give us a call at 570-344-6724.
Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.